Hi, and welcome back to Sapphic Survival Guide, where we are queer to answer your questions. I'm Cheyenne.
And I'm Gina.
Class is now in session, and today we have another unanswered questions episode for you. Today we're going to do some longer questions we got. We got some emails from some of our listeners, and they were good questions, but just too long to put in our general episode. So we decided to dedicate this one to a couple of our longer questions. And if you have any longer form questions for us, feel free to send those in the future.
Yes. So we've got just two, but again, they're pretty long, so they're going to take some time. And because things are kind of nuanced in these longer, kind of story questions, I think we'll have more to say about it. So wanted to get it dedicate that time. So here is our first question. They say, "Hello, as a trans man and a bisexual one at that, I don't know dating or sexual liberation. At times, the queer world is one that I find hard to navigate. How does one navigate in a world that is very new to my style of loving? The queer world has most definitely changed dramatically, and I've always felt strange around women despite being attracted to women. Another thing I face with is feeling the feminist hostility, and I can't identify with that reception. I definitely do things to avoid any contact at night, walk with my head down, and do things so that women feel more comfortable. I've honestly felt this way with women of all ages. It's not just one group of women. And as a trans man, most men who are straight have accepted me. So, is this common around the world because the queer scene isn't quite the same as what I once understood when I was looking at it from a young age?" Okay, so kind of a lot to unpack there. It's kind of a two-part question. It talks about the second half about feeling uncomfortable with the hostility of feminism and some of that kind of thought, and then also navigating the world as a trans bisexual man. So where do you want to start here?
I mean, I guess we could start with navigating the world as a trans slash bisexual man
Right,
because
I
neither of
just
us.
realized that you said do the long one first, and I totally
It's
didn't
okay.
do
It's okay.
that. I'm
It
so
does. It's
sorry.
fine. It's
I
fine. I was
just
like, I don't think that's the long one, but I'll go with
it's not. I'm sorry.
it. It's okay. So obviously neither of us are trans men. Neither of us are bisexual. I feel like it's a little bit more difficult for us to have like I just feel like we don't have that experience, so it's a little harder to talk about navigating the queer world and the world at large in that way. And also, like, we don't know the norms of these things around the world also. Like, we're very like
Sure.
isolated to like a North American United States experience. So I think it's kind of hard for us to talk about that. But I do think, as gender and sexuality is becoming more discussed and like I want to say more widely accepted and like embraced. And obviously that's not to say there aren't people on either end who aren't supporting of different identities, but just like I think as more people become educated and like begin to identify as queer themselves, I'm hoping that that expansiveness of like self-expression leads to acceptance of other people. I think really like no one knows your gender or sexuality better than you, and like you're valid in who you are, and like you don't need someone to tell you like that's okay or that's not okay. But I do think it definitely like complicates things when it comes to dating because you do have to deal with prejudices and preconceived notions and all these things that come into play when you are in an oppressed group of people.
Right. Yeah, I think that, like you said, like we're not coming from this identity, so I can't speak firsthand. But something that I think is a whole kind of universal is that whenever you have a new partner, you do need to kind of like educate them about yourself in the way that you love, your love languages, the way that you receive reassurance, the way that you receive pleasure. Like there's a lot of conversations in teaching somebody about yourself. And so in, you know, where this person said, it's a world that's very new to my style of loving. First of all, I think that's just like a really poetic way of phrasing that. But also I think of it as like, well, every person is going to be new to your style of loving. And every time you are encountering somebody new, no matter what your identity is, you are teaching them about how you operate. And that would go for me, especially like as somebody who's I consider myself like sexually fluid. Like each partner could have a different identity and therefore my sex with them might look a little bit different. And I would adapt to each person, and even with each person, I would expect them to adapt to me as well and what I do want or don't want and what toys we are going to use and which ones we aren't going to use and how we're going to handle aftercare and like what's important and all that stuff. I just feel like that's something that when you're, especially in the queer world where we take so much care about that kind of individuality, I think it's like a partner to partner navigation where like you take each person as a new map where you've got to draw yours and learn theirs. And that's where I think it doesn't matter who you end up with or who ends up with you. Like it's just a matter of learning each other. And I think that's kind of across the board, a thing that has to happen when you're engaging in new relationships of any kind.
Right. And even if this person was with another trans bisexual man, they might have different experiences and different facets of their identity that you would have to then learn and they'd have to learn about you. So yeah, that makes sense that it's, there's no like blueprint for learning how to love someone. It's the learning is like in the doing, I think.
Yeah. And I think the queer world continues to change and evolve, but that stays the same in that every encounter is new and fresh, you know?
Right. Yeah. What do you think about the feminist aspect of this question?
So my thought on this, maybe, I don't know if this is a hot take or not, but like there are objectively groups of people that have privilege and you're a man. And guess what? That puts you in a bucket of having privilege. Mm-hmm. And myself, I am a white person. So I get put in a bucket of having privilege. And if I meet people who are of color and they are a little skeptical of me because they don't know my values and they don't know who I am and what I believe in. And until they learn that, they might be a little just like apprehensive. Like that's something that I understand because that's like, that comes along with the privilege that I have walking around the world as a white person. And I think that can be applied to gender in this aspect. Like you're walking around the world as a man. The world is perceiving you as a man. You're getting treated like a man. And that comes with privilege because that's just the patriarchy. I don't know. Like, I don't like that's just something that you now have to take on because if you've ever not felt that, because if you didn't always identify this way, it's a shift for you. But if you like, if you think about the world, like it's not a shift for the rest of us. Like we are going to be weary of men. Men have not always been a safe space for everyone else, for each other, even sometimes. And I think that that's just kind of something that you have to learn how to navigate. And I think it's sweet that you go out of your way to like not stare and not do all those things that like you mentioned, but part of it is just like keeping to do that. Like as a white person, I have Black Lives Matter stuff around, so that if somebody sees that, they're gonna be like, all right, well, she can't be a total asshole, like that's there, so like maybe I can ask a couple questions and it might go a good way. Like I think maybe there's a way to have that, like something that shows you're a feminist, something like, you know, I don't know, like some sort of equality symbol. I don't know exactly what that looks like, but that's a way to maybe like de-escalate the apprehension that women would have. But I also just kind of feel like this is something that comes with the privilege of being a man. And maybe that's a hot take. I don't know.
Yeah, I think there's definitely obviously privilege that comes with a man, like being a man, that's undeniable. But then I think on the other hand, there are these like downsides to being a man, where it's like people automatically assume I'm unsafe, or they have these preconceived notions about me. And like, that sucks that we have to like make those assumptions. I mean, I think it sucks a little bit more for us that we have to be worried about those
Right.
things than it does to feel that, but it does still suck to feel like, damn, everyone thinks I'm a piece of shit. Like, people are scared of me. Like, that also sucks too. Like, that there's no denying that. I think what you said, Gina, about showing people that you're like a safe space and continuing to do things to make people feel safe and to not feel entitled to like be in someone's space or get treated a certain way. I think those are good things that you can do to make yourself be seen as
Approachable.
safer. Yeah, safer,
Yeah.
because I think it's normal. When women are like afraid of men or like afraid to like walk near a man alone at night, like there's a valid reason for that.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's going away because of the patriarchy at large. But I do think there are smaller things that you can do that then hopefully the feminists who like see how negatively the patriarchy also affects men, there are things you can do that show us that like, okay, this is a safe man to be around, and like
Yeah.
we don't just all hate all men. Like, it's
Right.
not like, I feel like it's about hating like the patriarchy and toxic masculinity as like a whole. Like, it's not about men for me. It's about like
Yeah.
what men are able to get away with, or like
The
what they
system is
do
not
to
set up
us.
for us. Yeah.
It's not set up to like make us trusting. And obviously there's, when you're a trans man, that's like a whole different thing, but at the same time, like, you are still a man. But then like you do have that gender oppression going on. Like, you do still lack privileges that cis men have, but you do have privileges that other people who aren't men don't have. Like, it just,
We will never have,
yeah.
so
So it's like, yeah, that sucks. And I'm sorry that you feel that way, but I'm also sorry that I can't walk around at night without feeling unsafe. Like,
right.
it's for both of us. And I don't know that there's anything that can shift that other than like mass changes of like small behaviors, like what you're doing to try to make each other feel safer. And then in turn, like, make each other feel more included. But like, I don't know. I blame the patriarchy. Don't be mad at the feminists. It sucks, but I'm sorry. Like, it sucks for all of us.
Okay. So our last question, and this is a lengthy one, so I'm going to read this, but everyone's got to hang on a bit because this is going to take us on quite a ride. Okay. Hi, I started listening to your podcast recently. I'm learning more about my own identity and relationships, and I've had this scenario of my own making that has shaped a lot of my coming out slash baby gay phase in college, and I'm still trying to navigate my feelings about it 3 years later. I read an article recently called On Kissing and Fucking Your Friends by Ella Ehrman, which was quite telling for me and has me thinking. Here's the long story. My freshman year, I met this girl who I assumed I just had a massive friend crush on because up until then I thought I was straight. We started seeing each other kind of secretly, and it was revolutionary for both of us. I quickly realized that I had feelings for her because the state of our lives at that point and some trauma bonding brought us together, and she became my rock. I ached for her presence every moment of the day. Ugh. I never felt cared for and appreciated as much as I did then. The summer came around, and we agreed to just be friends again when the new school year started, and I don't blame her for that. She was dating a man for many years and was all new to this as well. Maybe I was in love with her then, but I cared more to keep the relationship in general than rush into dating. While I was still coping with that fact and the fact that I never really expressed what I felt for her, I made new queer friends. One of them I grew very close to, and I felt like I could finally unpack my feelings about girl number one. My new friend, girl number two, was also coming out of a lengthy relationship with a man and was getting into her queerness, so there was a lot of vulnerability to go around. I loved her a lot. She was easily the best friend I've had, and I didn't really know how to express that to her. Somewhere along the way, we both had some interest in each other physically, so we said, why not? For her, it was her first gay experience, but it was still fresh, special for me, even though it wasn't, because I cared for her so much. And that aching feeling I had for number one, though, was never replicated. We both kept it low key with girl number two, never even spent the night in each other's rooms. Okay, blah, 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 blah about their relationship. They didn't tell their friends about it because they didn't want it to become something it wasn't. It didn't define our relationship. It didn't bother me at all because we agreed it wasn't that serious. And then chaos came. Girl number one and I were friends this whole time. She put friends in quotes and says, I use quotes because we would hang out in our friend gay group, which included girl number two, but we would never really make eye contact with each other. And all those feelings would get caught in my throat. We didn't spend alone time together because it felt too dangerous. And then some 2 years after we first kissed, we confessed our feelings to each other. At this point, we were both more comfortable in our gayness and admitted that we couldn't live without the fact that we never tried to embrace our feelings for one another. This is girl number one. It felt like a weight off my shoulder, but girl number two was not happy. She felt like I had cheated on her, though we had agreed to keep things a secret. And in a few months, we had sporadically slept together. Doesn't sound like it was that serious. I did reflect on our relationship, and I did do everything that a girlfriend would do to my close friends. Get little gifts, make dinners, gives hugs and cuddles, use terms of endearment. So this wasn't unique to her, but perhaps she felt it was, given how close we were. I acknowledge that I should have communicated better, but I'm still not understanding this queer relationship. We both learned a lot about our queer identities through each other, and I felt like I had an avenue to express my love for her more than just calling her my best friend. It didn't feel weird at all, but I also didn't feel like I was in love. Though she is sadly no longer a part of my life, I also don't think I regret anything. It was a pivotal relationship for me because there were feelings of all sorts that I never had before. I didn't need to be in love to have sex, but I just needed to care about them. So maybe I'm the villain in all of this because many were hurt along the way. Is this a unique experience? Is it a facet of gay friendships? I'm happily dating girl number one for 3 years now. All I hope now is that girl number two is happy with or without someone in her life. I want her to be in love with a woman, if just to realize she wasn't in love with me, but merely loved me. Sorry for this poorly written essay. I'm typing this out on my phone. Then she sent a follow-up message. Okay, wait, I realize how awful I made this sound. It was pretty bad, but to clarify, I spent months on end self-loathing and feeling such gut-wrenching hurt for hurting my friend unintentionally. I thought we were on the same page for our relationship because she also agreed on it and treated everything the same. It was a homoerotic friendship that I wanted to cut the tension and see how it would go, but it wasn't a long-lasting desire. And we actively went on dates with other people all the while. I didn't start dating my girlfriend for a long time because I genuinely felt like I didn't deserve happiness. I still do feel like the demon for not realizing her feelings were there, but also she never said they were. There's not really a resolution to this. She hates my guts now, but I really want to find a way to move on. Mm. Woo!
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, I liked hearing the whole story. I like the level of detail because I feel like there's been a lot of times where we're like, I don't know how to answer this because I don't know what's going on. I feel like I know what was going on. So
what do you think is going on?
I just want to say I appreciate
Elaborate.
It.
I want to see if we're on the same page with this because I feel like you and I both approach situations like this a little differently. So I'm wondering if we're both like interpreting it the same way.
Yeah. So I think that she was with girl number one when they were like young baby gays and it was really formative, but they just like weren't ready to dive in. So they put a pause. And in that time, she started experimenting more with girl number two. And I think she was under the impression they both thought it was casual, but girl number two thought they were knee deep in the passenger seat, eating me out, going to your mom's house and fucking Montauk or whatever the fucking lyrics are. And she's like, what do you mean? Is it casual? This is casual. Like, we were doing the thing.
You're
and
doing girlfriend shit.
Right. But she's kind of like, well, I'm going to get back together with girl number one. And girl number two's like, well, this just didn't like plan out the way I was expecting it to. Mm-hmm. So I think like it's hard because I get why she feels like the villain. Although I think that's a really tough, like, I think that's a really harsh, strong word to use. I think that things get messy like this when you keep things in that casual space and you don't clearly define things, because a lot of the tropes and things in like rom-coms is like, oh, it's like friends with benefits that starts out that way and then they fall in love. And so I think people keep that open in a way that we shouldn't. Like if you say, these are, we're keeping things casual and we're not even telling our friends and like all that kind of stuff, I would have been kind of surprised by their feelings as well. Although I don't know, like not fully shocked, because it's also a little bit like people have that trope, like I said, of like falling in love after being friends with benefits or whatever. But I think, and I'll let you say your thoughts before I keep going, but I think they're definitely being too hard on themselves. That's like my biggest takeaway is like, this is eating them up and I don't think it needs to be eating you up.
And I think we're our own harshest critics in that way. We're like, the things that we've done that we regret in our lives, we're like mortified by. And then other people are like, you're being a little too harsh on yourself. Like, give yourself some grace here. And it's like easier to say from the outside when you're not the person who's feeling those feelings or whatever. But I think we're pretty much on the same page. It does sound like there was some miscommunication, some messiness, some, maybe the other person was like dating to try and make this person jealous. Maybe they were like saying, yeah, we're casual, but they're going to fall in love with me eventually, like kind of thing. Like those are the vibes I was getting, that it was like they were in it for like the long game of it. And the person who wrote to us was not doing that, and it doesn't seem like there was full communication on either end about, and like doing quote unquote like girlfriend shit for your friend with benefits and not like being fully clear about that can be kind of confusing for people. So I think there's a lot of confusion there, but I don't think it's like you're like a villain and need to hate yourself forever. Like there are way worse things you could have done to this person. Was it not nice? Was it not cool? I mean, yeah, but you could say that on both ends, because the other person, if they were feeling some kind of way, they could have communicated that to you better instead of holding it in or, you know, waiting. And I think it's just like a case of like poor communication and, you know, mismanaged expectations, and just like it's just like the stereotypical like miscommunication trope that happens a lot, I feel like, in these like friends with benefits scenarios. And I think this person is just hurt that they're, I don't think they necessarily hate you, I think they're probably, their ego is hurt, they're in pain, they were in pain, it sounds like it's been years since that happened. They probably don't fuck with you, like they're probably like, I don't want that person in my life, but like that doesn't mean they're harboring all this anger and hatred and hurt for you. Like there are people from my past who like at the time I was like, fuck them, like they really hurt me, but now I'm like, you know, it's been 10 years, I'm over it.
Yeah.
Like, or not even over it, but it's like, it's not.
Like, ah, whatever.
Yeah. Like, I have forgiven them for myself because it doesn't do me any good to hold on to that anger and harbor that anger and hurt for something that's not that deep. And like,
yeah,
it was deep at the time. And it had like, not a ton of time has passed, but it's also like, it's just like not the worst thing that could ever happen to someone. It's obviously not the best either, but like it's definitely something you can grow and move past and realize like in the future I need to have open, clear communication with people so that this isn't happening again. You can't completely control that because it sounds like this was out of left field for girl number two, but like I said, she could do all she could do in that scenario. Maybe that is all she could do. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's tough because I think you're being very hard on yourself, and they might still be hard on themselves for not having communicated it all in the way they had hoped to.
Yeah. You know?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's one of those like classic, like there's multiple sides to the story, like, and the truth is somewhere in the middle, because on this person's side, she's like, we were doing what I thought we were doing. Things were casual. And like that other, like girl number two, that just like wasn't her truth. Like her truth was like, oh, it's casual now, but things could go somewhere. Mm-hmm. And like Tryon said, that's a miscommunication. But like, there's also a space where like you didn't, you like, yes, did they get hurt? Sure. But you didn't set out to hurt them. It was not intentional. You're clearly are a good person if you're thinking like years later, I can't believe I hurt this person so bad. Like that says to me, you never intended to. And that I think counts for something. And it's maybe not going to be where this girl, like girl number two, forgives you and everything. And y'all live like happily ever after as like besties. Like, unfortunately, maybe that's just like not the case. But I also feel like there's a space where that girl just like doesn't. Yeah. Like Cheyenne said, like doesn't fuck with you. We're like, her truth is just like, fuck that girl. She hurt me. And like, that's okay. Like, I think it's okay to be like, yeah, that girl hates my guts, but I didn't mean to do it. Like that's, that can be true. And I think there's like gotta be grace to just like get over like that situation in your own mind and get over it. That's like a harsh way of saying, I just mean like to like put the situation to rest, not like hold yourself against it.
Not everyone liking you. Like sometimes we do stuff that people don't like. And sometimes people do stuff that we don't like, and not everyone's going to like us and we're not going to like everyone. So I mean, eventually you have to be, you have to stop dwelling on it. And I have a hard time with that too. So I totally get it. But it's like, you could reach out and apologize. I don't know that that this girl would take it that well, considering you're still dating the other person.
It's been so long.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't know. I just feel like,
well, let me also say, I think it's cool that it worked out with girl number one. Like that was a nice conclusion to the story in a way.
Yeah. It definitely felt like some kind, like an episode of The L Word or something. It felt very like raw and real and true to the queer experience.
Yeah, and I just think like it's okay that that happened. Like there, like on the spectrum of hurting people, like that wasn't intentional. And I think like it's like sometimes you can't help but hurt people without meaning to when things like that happen. I think you just have to be like, okay, well, we're gonna not do it again. And I'm sure your communication with girl number one is much better now. Let's hope.
Yeah. I'm hoping for you. Okay. And with that, we are done with this little unanswered questions episode. We are actually going to be taking a hiatus for a bit, but you can stay in touch with us on social media at Sapphic Survival Guide, everywhere except for X, which is just at Sapphic Survival. We also have an email address, sapphicsurvivalguide@gmail.com. But yeah, if you want to listen to old episodes, you can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts, and you can find me, Cheyenne, at Hot Mespian on pretty much any social media platform.
And you can find me anywhere online at The Libregina, including my website, thelibregina.com. We do appreciate all the questions that have got sent in, and we're just going to take a little break because life is lifing, and we have so many good episodes. So we're going to be re-releasing some of those, so it gives you a chance to study up on some of those old topics. So thanks for listening. And with that, class is now dismissed.